You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
I'm sorry when, like, actual life interrupts work. When 5 minutes before you're about to host your 3.5 hour sports talk radio show, news breaks that Dallas Goedert is going to be active and attractive on Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys. And now you're sitting here and you're rushing to drop Richard Rodgers off your fantasy roster and see if Dallas Goedert, coming off of IR, is going to be available for you. Because that's going to be a butt whipping, is it not? Unbelievable. Anita Marks with you. It's the Anita Marks Show here on 98.7 ESPN. We've got Ty and Jake who are back in New York City. Guys, I mean, really. So this morning, you know me, every Saturday morning, I typically have a spin class. I go to Prime Cycle here in Hoboken. They have like an outdoor, you know, it is COVID-19. We are living in a pandemic. Everything I try to do is outside. And just a little too cold for my blood this morning. I woke up to go to the class. I had all the intention to go to the class. And then, of course, first thing I do in the morning, do you guys do this? Alexa? Is Alexa, can we take a poll? Is Alexa the first person you talk to in the morning?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean? Well, you're married. That might be uncomfortable. Jake, is Alexa the first? And I don't know, Jake, are you married? Is Alexa the first person you talk to or the first voice you speak to in the morning?
I didn't hear you, but I don't even have an Alexa, to be honest with you.
Oh, my gosh. What is going on? Anyway, so every morning, the first thing I do when I open up my eyes, besides order my Starbucks on my Uber Eats app, is, Alexa, what's the weather outside? So Alexa tells me it's 30 degrees. I'm like, no, spin isn't happening today. So what did I do? I watched The Queen's Gambit. Have you guys seen the show yet? It's phenomenal. Have you heard about it?
Yes, I have.
It has to be one of the best shows that I've seen in a long time. It's on Netflix. You could binge watch it just like I did this morning. I still have the last episode that I will watch later on tonight. I've teed that up for myself, but the show is phenomenal. Phenomenal storyline, phenomenal writing, phenomenal casting, acting, you name it. It's a must watch. It's called The Queen's Gambit. It's on Netflix. So all morning I'm prepping for the show. I'm watching my Queen's Gambit. This news of Dallas Goedert starting this week in fantasy couldn't have broke at that point in time. I had to break 5 minutes before we start the show. I mean, this is like just a microcosm of like life happening, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the thing. I've got Richard Rodgers, Philadelphia Eagles tight end, in like, I don't know, 6 of my 9 teams starting against the Dallas Cowboys. Again, I think the Philadelphia Eagles are just going to tear them up. And so now it's a mad rush, I'm sure, for everybody to... So if you're driving, by all means, I know a lot of you have that ESPN fantasy app. Pull over. Let's be responsible. Okay? Let's be responsible. Pull over. Hashtag run, don't walk. Go grab Dallas Goedert. Looks like the Eagles are going to tee him up for possibly, I'm sure, a big game against the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night.
I'll explain the awkward pause after you ask me the question. I mean, no one can argue that there isn't a single person on the planet more invested in fantasy football than Anita Marks. For me this year, we talked about this before the regular season. I'm not in a single league. So I'm not feeling that frustration or that blood rush that you're getting right now because these injuries aren't affecting me as outside of the team that I root for in the Jets and how it affects the games. So that's why you sound more invested than I am. I'm kind of living vicariously through you.
Here's the thing, Ty. I can't seem to wrap my head around anyone going through an NFL season not having a fantasy team or not gambling on football. I have a really hard time wrapping my head around that concept.
I didn't say I wasn't gambling.
Okay, well, at least there's one of two.
Yes.
Because let's be honest.
I've checked one box.
Let's be honest. The product sucks. Let's totally be honest this year. Okay? If ever there was a year with less parity in the NFL, it's this year. It really is. I mean, you've got a Seattle Seahawks team that I could probably suit up this week and quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers and keep them in contention against that horrible secondary of the Seattle Seahawks. Okay? I mean, there is... The product that is out there is just absolutely disgusting. And don't we know it more than anywhere in the country than right here in New York City between the Giants and the Jets? It's just, it's god-awful. It's just absolutely god-awful. So and there's so much I want to dive into, and we've got a great show lined up for you. Again, we've got an extra 30 minutes today, leading into another college football game. Steve Verderosa, who has been a longtime NFL scout for over 30 years and was with the Giants, is going to share with us some insight on Tua. That I know the biggest game, and we will dive into this ad nauseum today, and that is the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay? We'll get all the picks for you. Cynthia Freeland is going to join us at 2 o'clock. She's always on point. Joe Wiz is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Hopefully he'll have a play, if not a few, in this game. I'll have for you my play. But the other game that I'm probably most intrigued by is the fact that the Miami Dolphins have decided to change the guard with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, by the way, has won two games, but they've still decided that they want to move on with Tua. Okay. Bye week. Not a great matchup. Hello, welcome to the NFL, Tua against Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. I don't know if that would have been the most ideal matchup for Tua. But I thought it'd be great. Steve scouted him for several years. And so I thought it'd be great if we get Steve on the show and him give us some insight on Tua and what the realistic expectations are going to be tomorrow as he takes over the quarterback position for the Miami Dolphins and goes up against the Rams. Also, Mama Mimi, I mean, with this show, let's be honest, Ty, could this show be complete without Mama Mimi on the day before Tua takes over for the new era for the Miami Dolphins? I had to get her on, right?
Like, now, can I put some pressure on you?
Uh-oh.
The segment, now, obviously, if you're a Dolphins fan, you're ecstatic for the new era in Miami. But the segment with Mama Mimi won't be complete until she gets to voice her, let's call it, opinions on Ryan Tannehill. Because let's be honest,
I think she's over the Ryan Tannehill. Tannehill.
But she can't.
I think she is. I think she's accepted the fact, and she has said it on the show before, Ty. She blames Adam Gase.
Well, because I was just going to say, since the start of last season, his stats have been comparable to the great Patrick Mahomes. So she's kind of got maybe some egg on her face. I don't know how she feels about him leaving Miami and having some success with Tennessee.
I don't think it's egg on her face. I think her rationale is she thinks that, you know, it was under the tutelage of Adam Gase, and now he's here in New York, and she feels bad for Jets fans. But I am happy to revisit that topic with her for sure. Or, you know what, Ty? You have a mic. You can open your mic at any time I tell you that. This is as much your show as it is mine. You are welcome to ask that question for Mama Mimi. Like I said, Bill Barnwell at 1 o'clock, Cynthia Freeland at 2, Mama Mimi at 1:30. A good friend of mine, Jeff Zerebak, who covers the Ravens, is going to join us in our 2 o'clock hour around 2:30 to give us a deep dive into that Ravens Steelers game, which, let's be honest, is the must-watch game tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Joe is with his picks. So we've got a jam-packed show, and, of course, your calls, 800-919-3776. But when we come back, and just to kind of give you an idea of what my week is, okay, I do so much prep and so much research every day for all the shows that I'm on, TV and radio and digital. And while I'm in my studio and I'm prepping, I'm an equal opportunity viewer, where whether it's politics or sports, okay, I watch everything. So I'm watching ESPN, I'm watching Fox, I'm watching NBC with Pro Football Talk. I'm all over the place. And there's a few narratives out there. There's a few storylines. There's a few opinions out there that I wholeheartedly disagree with this week. Like, immensely. One is that Trevor Lawrence should not come to the Jets. Because, of course, we heard his statements earlier this week. You know, my plan is to come out, but you never know. Anything could happen. Right? There's some talk and speculation. Why would he want to come? Who would want to come to this Jets organization? It's a horrible organization. He should pull an Eli Manning. Heck, Stephen A. Smith talked about it. There's a video up on ESPN.com referring to the whole Eli and Philip Rivers situation with the Chargers and, of course, the Giants. We know how that all went down. And I feel really strongly that is a misconception that Trevor Lawrence should not come to the Jets. That's number one. And the other storyline out there that I have a really, really, really hard time with this week and has kind of fueled my fire is the notion that Tom Brady has won this divorce with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. I understand the plethora of talent that he has around him now. I understand that Antonio Brown is more than likely in week 9 going to suit up and play for the Tampa Bay Bucks. And I understand that the Patriots more than likely are going to get their butts handed to them this week by the Buffalo Bills. I understand all of that. But to immediately judge this divorce with just 8 weeks into the season, I think is wrong. And so those are two topics I want to dive into this morning. Tim, Nick and Andy, I see you. Andy in Miami, I've been thinking about you, dude. I am so thrilled that you've called into the show because this is such a big week. And I really have been thinking about you. Andy's a big listener of the show, and he hasn't been on in quite a while. And with the whole Tua news and Tua time in Miami, I was hoping that you would call in today, Andy. And I'm so thrilled that I see you on our caller screen. So we get back, we'll take your calls, and I'm going to start with the Trevor Lawrence topic first, and why I feel that it might be the Jets might be the best team. The best team Trevor Lawrence could land on if he so chooses to leave Clemson.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Why do I feel that it is the wrong narrative, the wrong analysis to say that Trevor Lawrence should not go to the Jets? Here's why. I actually feel that the Jets came into the season tanking. I said it. There. I said it. It's out there. Agree, disagree with me? I don't care. And what do I mean by tanking? I don't mean that the coaches went into the locker room and said, all right, guys, let's lose. That's not what I mean by tanking. And a lot of this I owe to Connor Rogers, who was on with us. You can see all his work on Bleacher Report. He was on with us months ago, and he alluded to this. He teased this notion. Hey, you know, why didn't the Jets go after Jadeveon Clowney? It's not like they didn't have the money for it. It's not like they didn't have they certainly didn't have anybody on their defensive line getting after quarterbacks. So I'm not gonna, you know, he kind of planted that seed in my head. And then as the season progressed, Jamal Adams getting traded, you got the feel and the vibe that this just wasn't a team that was putting their best foot forward to make sure that they were going to have the best roster this year to win football games. And it's a shame because, you know, this is the first year Tom Brady no longer in the division, an opportunity to take advantage. Because let's be honest, you know, the Buffalo Bills, they're 1-2 their last three games. But that's neither here nor there. My own personal opinion, I don't know anything. Call me crazy. Call me a dumb blonde. I don't care. My gut is telling me that this Jets team came into this season with not their best foot forward, having their best roster and every intention to win every game possible. Why? Joe Douglas has compiled a, and I'm going to use the word again today, plethora of draft picks. Plethora. I think the goal is to get Trevor Lawrence. I would not be surprised if they trade Sam Darnold before Tuesday. I would not be shocked. And we're going to have Bill Barnwell on the show a little bit later, 1 o'clock to be exact, and I will ask him that question myself. And don't forget, it's not just getting the number one pick. You get the number one pick, then you're at the top of the ladder in the second round, in the third round. And Joe D has compiled a ton of picks in a lot of rounds. I want to say, last article I read, and this was a few weeks ago, and I apologize, I should have done my due diligence prior to the show just to confirm, but I want to say, like, the Jets are coming in with, like, 11 picks, and there's, like, 2 in the first, 3 in the second, 2 in the third. I mean, just, enough draft picks that can change an organization overnight. Especially if the organization drafts properly and wisely, which in Joe D, I have faith. Now, is it fair that the organization moves on from Sam Darnold so soon? No. You know what? Sam Darnold has been dealt a really crappy hand. You know, it's like Lamar Jackson was dealt, you know, a full house. And Sam Darnold was dealt a pair of twos. Just crap. But I think there's greener pastures for Sam Darnold. Like, I can see Sam Darnold being traded to the Indianapolis Colts. Great offensive line. I was just reading right now. Here's another fantasy football alert for you. Michael Pittman Jr., off IR. Expected to be active for the Colts this week. Love him. He's my favorite wide receiver coming out of this draft this year, and he's been injured. And look at all the talent we've seen at the wide receiver position, all the rookie wide receivers. I think Michael Pittman Jr. is better than all of them. I'm really excited to see what Michael Pittman Jr. can do for the remainder of the season with the Colts, because they are trying to win that division against the Tennessee Titans. There's a lot of talent there. Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. I think in a perfect world, Sam leaves here. Don't let the door hit you behind, because I think there's greener pastures for you, Sam. And it might be an Indy. Indy moves on from Phillip Rivers. And now the Jets are sitting there with Trevor Lawrence and, I would imagine, immense talent. Not to mention, how many one-year deals are up? How much cap space are the Jets going to have this year? A lot. At least top of the pack. Not towards the bottom. So, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, or if I'm Trevor Lawrence's agent, I'm looking at the Jets as a good land. Like, yeah, you have your reservations about ownership. Are they going to keep Adam Gase? Are they not? But I'm looking at the Jets as a very... the potential of being a great landing place. You've already got Mekhi Becton. Organization committed to going out, spending some more draft picks on some top edge offensive linemen. Spend some money in the draft. I'm telling you, I get up, first take, Colin Cowherd. Trevor Lawrence needs to stay in school. Don't go to that horrible organization. I beg to differ, men. I beg to differ. 800-919-3776. I do want to bring Andy on because we're going to have Steve Bertarossa, who's going to join us next, and he's going to give us a really in-depth scouting report on Tua. But Andy, I'm so thrilled you called in today from Miami. I've been thinking about you ever since the Tua announcement. And so, I mean, your thoughts on Tua starting tomorrow. What are your expectations, Andy?
We're so jacked. I can't wait. I want to go to the game now. If there wasn't a pandemic and I didn't give up my season tickets, I'd be there now. Do you want to know some of the people that have been quarterbacks since Dan Marino left?
Of course I, Andy, I of course I know. Of course I'm from Miami.
How about Jake?
I know. I know. I know.
How about Paige Rosenfels?
I know.
Brian Gracie, AJ Feely, Gus Frerotte quarterbacked us.
Scott Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell was the big replacement. They did big exposés on him in the Herald that he was the next Marino. He was the actual replacement.
Yeah, then he went to Detroit and wet the bed.
Joey Harris.
I know.
How about Cleo Lemon? Trent Green, John Beck. I'm so jacked to be on the air with you, Anita. I haven't been on for months, but this is it.
I know. Where have you been, dude? Where have you been?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, after Dunbar, I went in the basement, man. I went in the basement, and I've just been watching sports, and I'm back. I've been waiting for Tua. I've gone to his games 4 years in a row. I've seen every snap he's had. I know you – look, you like Justin Hubert. Hubert, you were right. He's amazing. I just – the thing that worries me, Anita, and this is where I need you, okay – the Dolphins are ranked number 30 in offensive line. Number 30. And I'm going to be seeing Aaron Donald, okay? This guy has a replaced hip, all right? All they have to do is keep him healthy. Why the Rams? I know it's after a bye, but why against Aaron Donald? I just need him to stay
the bye, because of the bye week, Andy. I mean, I'm sure, and listen, I'm sure there was a lot of discussion that went into the decision of starting Tua. I'm certain of it. Right? Like, coming off of two wins with Ryan, and just the fact that Ryan Fitzpatrick went to the media and said that his heart was ripped out from within him with the announcement, he didn't even know it was coming. So I want to imagine, and I want to believe, and I do believe, that there was lengthy conversations to make this decision, and they probably felt like this had to be, even though it's not the most ideal opponent for game one for Tua, but I want to believe that the organization felt like, listen, we need to give this young man at least 2 weeks to really get ready, spend a lot of time with the ones, practice with the ones, and get ready for this Sunday. And so I think it was the timing in regard to the bye week that really made this decision happen, Andy.
Well, Anita, you called the Josh Rosen era correctly. I know you were concerned that he had a hot tub in his room in his dorm. And you were right. He did not work out any better than Tyler Thigpen worked out. But I am telling you, Anita, this kid is a star. It's not just his personality. It's what he can do, his first game ever with beating Clemson in the national championship. He is an amazing talent, and I just pray he stays healthy. And if he can stay healthy behind the 30th-ranked offensive line, then I don't want to say we have Marino's replacement. But, boy, do we have something special here.
Andy, and I appreciate your phone call, Andy. And again, thank you for your call. And it's so great to hear your voice. Again, I've been thinking about you. But that's the big question. You've heard me say it time and time again. You know, I'm a big draft freak. I love Justin Herbert. If Justin Herbert would have, let me tell you something. If Justin Herbert would have come out the year before, I think the Giants would have taken him. The Giants would have gone after him. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. It's my understanding that Justin Herbert was the number one player on the Giants board. Not that says much, Hill of Beans. I get that. But Justin Herbert was the number one player on a lot of people's boards. And then unfortunately, he decided to stay at Oregon. He wanted to play with his brother. Oregon gave his brother a scholarship. It's admirable. It's nice. Pulls at the heartstrings, all that good stuff. But that's the big if. It's not that I don't think Tua is talented. And I'm not sitting here saying that maybe Tua might be better than Justin Herbert. It's, can he stay healthy? And there's such big I know for a fact there were a number of teams that did not even have Tua on their board because of health issues, because of that hip. In long-term stability.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Ty's producer. Ty and Jake are producing the show back in New York City. Ty, what would be the first thing you do? You want $170 million. I mean, granted, half of that goes to taxes. But what's the first thing you do?
Can I just say one thing before I answer that question?
Yeah.
This just shows you the difference between you and Dave Rothenberg, because he posed the same question earlier. Not the same question, a similar question. And his was, what would be the first thing you buy me? So he made it about himself.
but that's Dave. You know that. Yeah, you should expect anything less.
Selfish Dave.
You shouldn't expect anything less from Dave.
I know this is a cliche answer.
Have you ever met Dave's wife?
I have. Yep. I went to the bar mitzvah.
I love her.
She's a great woman.
I love her.
Fantastic.
Like, he totally outkicked his coverage.
He did.
I'm just saying. Oh, he totally did. You know, she's like a phenomenal lacrosse player.
Yes, I have heard the stories.
She coaches lacrosse.
She does now. Her kids as well. Yeah, they're both involved.
Dave won the lotto.
He did. The NJ lotto.
Yeah, he did. Anyway.
He's not athletic. Outside of, you know, sports, he's not good at anything. It's not a lot of talent there outside of this business. So, yes, he outkicked his coverage. But what I do first is, it's a cliche answer, but I'm paying off all the student loans. Got to get rid of him.
Okay. No, it's smart.
Got to get rid of him.
It's smart. Nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to, I would say I want to buy my mom a house, but she recently bought one 2 years ago. So I don't know if that makes sense. But yes, paying off the student loans and then I'm buying my own self a house.
Fantastic.
How about you? What would you do?
Oh, I don't know. I've thought about it. There's so many things I need. I can't say that there's a lot that I want in life. But there's a lot of things that I need. I'd probably take care of my family.
Yeah,
you know, my brother and my sister, they just started families of their own. I'm now an aunt of two.
Oh yes. How are they doing?
Judah is turning two next month, and Asa just turned 4 months old. So I'm an aunt of two beautiful little boys. I adore my brother and my sister so much.
I remember Judah. It's been 2 years already.
It's been two
wow.
years. Yeah. And, you know, of course, I'd do something special for Mama Mimi, of course.
Of course.
And I'd probably try to rescue as many dogs as possible. It's probably what I would do.
Now for Mama Mimi, when you mentioned doing something special for her, does it involve the daddy she's going to see tonight at this party?
I don't know. Maybe I'll try to reach out to Cuomo and see if he'll fly down to Miami and take my mom out on a date.
See if he's available.
Obviously, she's got a huge crush on him. 800-919-3776. Let's go to your calls. Let's kick it off with Richard in Manhattan. Richard, welcome in.
Hi, Anita. Anita, today's Halloween. As a kid growing up in New York City, Astoria specifically in the 60s, early to mid-60s, Halloween was the biggest day of the year. And do you know why?
I'm waiting. Yeah.
Why do you think it was the biggest day? You can say, well, we got candy and money and things like that. But it wasn't just that, because we got candy and money on religious holidays. Halloween was so important because we were with our friends, that we were all independent. We would go into apartment buildings in the early to mid-60s. There was no threat of anything going on in those days, nothing. With four or five kids, we'd go trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, our parents would go through the bag, make sure that there were no unwrapped candies we would eat. If we got $2, that was a big take. $2 was big. If we got 2 cents from somebody, that was very good. A penny was it was okay. We wanted money, always wanted money. A nickel was a killing. And we were with our friends, and we were great after school. I remember one year, I think it was in 1966, Halloween was on a Saturday like today, and I'm going trick-or-treating, listening to the Notre Dame game on AM radio, I think it was WOR, and they were playing Navy. Ira Parsegian was the coach, and one hand I got the transistor radio, the other hand my bag going trick-or-treating. Those were great times growing up, especially in New York. It was unbelievable. And I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank you, Anita. Always a pleasure.
Richard, thank you. Thank you for the walk down memory lane. My grandmother went on a blind date with Parsegian, by the way. Do you know who that is, Ty? That's before your time, right?
Yeah, that predates my existence.
Yeah. My grandfather was gotten his crawl that... it was something we could never discuss, that my grandmother went on a blind date with him. I remember, really quick before we take a break, we come back and Joe and David, we'll get to your calls. I was really bad on things on Halloween. I don't know about you, Ty, but like my friends, we'd have shaving cream. We'd go out with shaving cream. We would go out with toilet paper homes.
Yeah, I was a big fan of throwing eggs at cars.
Yeah, we'd go out with eggs and shaving cream and toilet paper, and we were just like, man, we get in trouble. I'd get in trouble. I'm not gonna lie. I should have brought this up when Mama Mimi was on. Like, we get in trouble.
Throwing firecrackers into stores.
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
Awesome.
all kinds of, you know, sneaking into abandoned buildings that allegedly were haunted.
I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I wish I could go back to those days.
I know, right?
That's when fun was so, really
fun. So bad, but so fun. It felt so good. You know, not in a bad way. Like, you know, we weren't hurting anyone. You know what
of
I mean? But, you know,
we
but we were mischievous. We were mischievous kids. You know, and it felt good to be bad for a little bit. Right?
It just felt good to be bad.
Exactly. Anyway, Joe and David.
Did we just say this stuff on the air?
I thought we were talking
during a break.
Hopefully no kids are listening.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
By the way, it is Halloween. I was on Twitter just now and like candy corn is trending. I love candy corn. And let me preface by saying I'm not a sweet tooth person. Like I don't eat a lot of chocolate. I don't eat a lot of, like, I don't necessarily like the way that sugar makes me feel after I eat it. I don't feel 100%. So it says a lot for me to eat candy corn because I know that I'm going to feel a certain way after I eat it that I don't necessarily like, but I'm still going to eat it anyway. And here's the thing. Candy corn only comes around for like a few, like 2 months out of the year. It's not like you can't get it year round. It makes it special and unique. You're either a candy corn person or you are not.
Yes.
There's no in between. There's no middle of the road. There's no shades of gray. You are either I eat candy corn or I can't stand candy corn. What are you, Ty?
I am the latter. I can't.
You
stand
are.
It. Yes.
Really?
You're either in or out. I'm out all the way out.
Were you able to download that Matthew McConaughey, him going off on candy corn?
Yeah, I have it. We can play it later if you want.
Okay. Let's take our calls. Oh, well, actually, yeah, let's take our calls and then I will share with you my take on where the divorce stands right now between Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Let's go to Stuart. Stuart, welcome in.
Yeah, how you doing, Anita?
Hi.
I hope you have some good wins this Sunday because a lot of people can. Yeah, because I think you're running only about 500, if I'm not mistaken, from the beginning of the first game till now, which is pretty good. But you know, we want to get up to the higher level. And,
no, are you kidding? I want to win. I'm losing money on my juice. Yeah.
Now my question is to you. There are some very heavy gamblers out there, as you know, and I was wondering, do they have access to better information than the average guy that bets?
It's a great question. It's a great question, Stuart, and I do appreciate your phone call. You know, understand something. You know, there are a number of people, obviously, that are in the industry that are handicappers and whatnot. A lot of them have algorithms. Like, that's why I love having Cynthia Freeland on. Cynthia is just not another pretty face. Like, Cynthia is a brainiac. Cynthia went to an Ivy League school. She has an algorithm. Her picks and her analysis are based on her program, her algorithm. You know, I'm someone, I don't have an algorithm. I'm not a brainiac. I didn't go to an Ivy League school. I went to University of Sun and Fun, where University of South Florida, where we didn't have classes on Friday, and I lived in a dorm that had a pool, and we didn't take classes between noon and two because we wanted to lay out. But this is what I am. I am a football enthusiast. I played football from a very young age. I played women's professional football. I know football. I know golf, and I study a lot. I read up a lot, and I'm very passionate, and I feel that I'm very wise at how I evaluate games. You know, but so to answer your question, Stuart, I think there's a variety of people who handicap games. And some are those brainiacs who've got algorithms in a system, and they implement all this information and it spews out winners for them. And then others just are very familiar with the game and very familiar with, you know, the ins and outs and the ebb and flow of gambling. And so you have a wide variety of people. It's great when those two worlds collide, And you've got somebody who's played the sport and has an algorithm. You've got somebody who's like I would imagine, here's the thing, Ty, I would imagine that Ryan Fitzpatrick, when it's all said and done, I would imagine that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be a phenomenal handicapper. You know, dude went to Harvard, brainiac, real smart, knows the game. I bet you Ryan Fitzpatrick would be an exceptional NFL handicapper when his career is all said and done, quarterbacking whatever team he ends up quarterbacking from here on out.
I don't doubt it.
Just say.
I don't
just
doubt
say.
It at all.
Let's go to, is it Stewart? Or no, it's Shooter. Let's go to Shooter.
All right. Party at the Moon Tower, Anita. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. Quick Halloween story, and I love candy corn. I shoveled this lady's driveway in the winter for $20. After like 2 hours, she said it was no good. I need to do the ice. I was like, what? I was like 12 years old. I spent 2 hours shoveling, breaking up the ice. Okay? She says, no good. She gives me $5, tells me to go home. So I went back that night and shoveled all the snow back in her driveway. And for every Halloween after that, me and all my friends would bomb the crap out of her house for the next 10 years. Just a quick Halloween story before my question, my actual football question.
How is that a... Why would you share that story? It's such a horrible story.
Well, I guess it was an eye for an eye, right? Like, she was horrible to me as a kid, and then I was horrible to her.
Oh, my gosh. Eye for eye leaves everybody blind, Stewart. Anyway, go ahead. What's your football story, please?
Oh, sorry. The Seattle backfield, what am I going to do? Because Hyde, Carson, DJ,
We just talked about this. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. All right. Thanks for your phone. Wow. Thanks for your phone call. If Hasty is still available on your waiver wire, go get him. Not a phenomenal matchup, but from what I understand, the volume's going to be there. Stefania Bell loves him. Peter King loves him. Cynthia Freeland loves him. Everybody I've spoken to or heard this week pertaining to the 49ers backfield loves Hasty. So go grab him. Go get him. Let's go to Dave in Coney Island. Dave, you're up. Welcome in.
How you doing? Listen, on the Jets, big Jet fan, Trevor Lawrence, let's build around him, get a good head coach. Stevie Cohen, why don't you buy the Knicks? Because that'd be nice because you got my Mets and we're going to have a good season next year. I'm a traditionalist. The Giants, stay with Danny Jones and see if they can step up, but Tampa Bay's going to really kill them. And on the betting and all that, I got to say, it's always a 50% bet if you just bet the favorites and throw them in parlays. You know, so if you take, let's say, like your Packers and your KC and your Tampa, and you roll it into a three-team parlay and no spread, you're obviously going to win because those teams are. I'm a winner. I love it. My son's 5 years in the Navy. He knows how to pick them. And my daughter's running a dog business at 23, and she's doing great. I love listening to you. I love everything about sports, and I'm so happy because I have a little male chauvinist in my blood. When a woman yourself has played and knows and has a radio show, you're the best. God bless. Have a good weekend. Good luck with your pick.
Dave, thank you. Oh, interesting few calls there, Ty.
Yeah, I'm out on that phone call. But by the way, you said
interesting.
You said something during the break that you have to bring to air.
I've never been to Coney Island.
And that's an absolute disgrace.
I'm sorry. I've never been to Coney Island.
I feel like everyone's been to Coney Island. I've been to Coney Island a million times.
Yeah, but you grew up here. You grew up here. And listen, I know it's not an excuse. I've been here for over 10 years. I know it's not an excuse. It's no excuse. It's no excuse.
It's a New York landmark. It's a New York City landmark.
I know. I want to say, wasn't the World's Fair there?
I believe it was 1 year, yeah.
Wasn't the World's Fair? Because I want to say Mama Mimi's first, as soon as she graduated from high school, she came to New York City, and her summer job was she worked at the World's Fair. And if I remember correctly, it was on Coney Island, I think. Years ago, like years and years and years ago.
Maybe. Anyway. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh boy. All right. We have an extended version of the show. It is 30 minutes, and we're going to talk some gambling. Why? Joe Wiz is going to join us. He's got a show right here on 98.7 ESPN every Saturday night at midnight, and then again at 6 a.m. on Sundays, leading into my fantasy show, Fantasy Forecast with Anita Marks, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., wall-to-wall fantasy football, getting you ready for week 8 of the fantasy football season. And then Chris Canty is back on board this week for New York Game Day. So it'll be Chris Canty, Mike Tannenbaum, and me, Anita Marks, with you from 8 to 11 tomorrow. So stay tuned for that. Also, some other news here, if you're just tuning in. Stephon Gilmore, knee ruled out for the Bills. Oh, boy. Oh, but ruled out against the Bills. Bills are going to, man, they're bringing the woodshed. Boy, they're woodshed coming out. Bills are going to destroy the Patriots. Eagles are going to destroy the Cowboys. The Bucks are going to destroy the Giants. And the Kansas City Chiefs are going to destroy the Jets. This is, I'm going to tee up a four-team teaser. I'm going to tee up a four-team teaser for Joe Wiz.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
Joe Wiz is joining us. He's got a show that airs right here every Saturday night at midnight, and then again on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. With all his picks, college and pro. So, Joe, welcome in. How you doing?
Hi, Anita. Thanks for having me on. I can see you on the New York horizon from my office here in Hoboken.
Well, I think we're both in Hoboken.
There you go.
But Ty is producing the show with Jake back in New York City, so God bless them. They're holding down the fort like they do each and every week. So Joe, let's start with the biggest game, right? Because, you know, I think a lot of money is going to be put on this Ravens-Steelers game. And I love the Ravens here. I know a lot of people think this is going to come down to like a field goal. It's going to be a close dip game. I had Cynthia Freeland on earlier. You know, it's going to be a nail biter coming down, maybe a field goal. It's not the way that I see this playing out. I think the Ravens being rested, coming in off of a bye. John Harbaugh is going to have these guys ready. I think not having Devin Bush in that linebacking core for the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to hurt them in trying to contain Lamar Jackson. I love the addition of Ngakoue, trading for him with the Minnesota Vikings. I think him and Calais Campbell get after Ben Roethlisberger. I'm not worried about the 4 points, 4.5 points in some places. How are you playing this Ravens-Steelers game?
I see the line at 4 right now. The total in this game is at 46, Anita. And when you take a look at it, the Steelers were very fortunate to escape last week in Nashville. They built that big lead. Gostkowski missed a chip 40-yard field goal. Game went into overtime. All the momentum was swinging towards the Titans in that game. You know, the scheduling dynamics certainly favor the Ravens. They've had 2 weeks to prepare, and I think this game is much more important for the Ravens than it is for the Steelers. If the Steelers win this game, they could possibly run the table and go to 10-0 before they meet up again on Thanksgiving weekend. I think this is going to be a close game. If I was going to play the game, I would take the 4 points with the game. But I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I lean more towards a total. I think that the Steelers' defense gave up a lot of points against the Titans. I think the Ravens could put points up on the board. If I was playing the game more, I'd like the total over. But I think it's going to be a close game, but high-scoring.
So you're going to stay away from this game, pretty much what you're talking about, right? You're going to
stay away from it. Over 46 is where I'm playing. I like the over in the game is where my play is on that game. I like the over.
Okay. There's some lines out here that I've got a hard time with. Okay, and we've spent a lot of time on this show talking about the Dolphins and the Rams. Dolphins right now they're +3.5. Here's what I don't understand. A lot of public money is flowing on the Miami Dolphins for a guy that we're really excited to see play, but haven't seen really play in a legitimate series. You know, we saw him play garbage time, but a legitimate series in the NFL. What side are you on here? Do you have a play in this Dolphins-Rams matchup?
Yeah, you take a look at it here, Anita. Rams are coming off the short week. They played Monday night. They won a rather convincing game against the Bears. Miami has had 2 weeks to prepare. As you mentioned, I've been listening to your show all afternoon, which I love. And, you know, when you take a look at it, you're just not sure what you're going to see at Tua. They're certainly going to have a conservative game plan for him. They're not going to ask him to throw the ball as much as Fitzpatrick has done. Fitzpatrick has a higher quarterback rating than Phillip Rivers and Kyler Murray, yet they've taken him out. I guess they're thinking long-term in Miami. Rams have played well on the road. They're 11-5 against the spread under McVay. I think that the Rams' defense shuts down Miami. I agree with you, Anita. And you, when you and I agree, we're way over 50%, regardless of what Stewart said, what you are for the season. When you and I are in the same game, I think it's about 70%. I'm going to lay the 3.5. I'm actually going to buy the half point, and that's something I talked about on my show, which will be running tonight at midnight. Actually, it might be running at 11 tonight. And then at 6 a.m., I like to buy half points. I always tell people not to get burnt by the hook. I'm going to take the Rams laying 3.
I like it. I like it. Again, I just, you know, and it's hard for me because I'm a Miami Dolphin fan. I'm going to be sitting here rooting for Tua. I want to see him do well. I want to see the Dolphins do well. I want my mom, Mama Mimi, to have a good Sunday night.
Aaron Donald is going to be ready for Tua.
Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. Like, nobody's really talking a lot about Jalen Ramsey. Like, I see Jalen Ramsey getting a pick. Like, maybe two. Yeah.
I just think, like I said, with the defense, the Rams have a superior defense. Even if Fitzpatrick was playing, the Rams' defense is very, very good. They played well on the road. When they played in Buffalo, they lost a heartbreaker with a phantom flag in the final seconds of the game, which shouldn't have been called. But they had the Bills beaten in Orchard Park. I think that the Rams, providing that they're rested, you know, they always talk about these West Coast teams coming to the East Coast. I just think that the Rams are a better team, and they'll get the job done.
Joe, here's another one, and I've got two games based on information that's coming out right now, all right? And I know it's flowing, and we'll hear more as the day progresses, but no Stephon Gilmore for the Patriots, no Edelman, no N'Keal Harry. So Cam Newton, who's in a fog, and I'm not buying that this isn't COVID-related, by the way. Again, just my two cents. Going to Jacoby Myers and Bird, who the hell are those guys? And the Bills are at home, and they're only having to give up 4. This would be like a woodshed moment. You know what this reminds me of, Joe? This is like when Serena Williams woke up that one morning and said, you know what? I'm going to beat my older sister, Venus Serena, today. And I'm going to beat her bad because she's been beating up on me since I was a kid. And today's the day that the little sister beats the big sister and never looks back again. That's what I see happening here.
Well, when you take a look at the game here, I mean, you know, since 2000, the Bills have been favored 5 times over the Patriots. And in those 5 meetings, they're 1-4 straight up and against the spread. I mean, in the last 39 meetings, New England is 35-4 versus the Bills. And you got to remember, look at the Bills last week. They struggled against the Jets. They were in the red zone 8 times and only came away with 6 field goals. You know, Josh Allen might be starting to regress a little bit. The line is at 4. And my theory is anytime something seems too easy, I usually defer to the dog. It's not one of my bigger plays on the board. But Anita, if I'm playing the game, I'm going with Belichick. I think that he's going to come up with a defensive plan. If the season's on the line for New England, they know they got the Jets next week. So if somehow the Patriots can squeak out a win, I'm not calling for an outright upset. But I'm taking the 4 only because it just seems too easy. And whenever I've seen scenarios like this, my old saying is the house very rarely loses. It seems like there's an invitation to bet Buffalo. I'm not going to fall for the trap. I'm taking the 4 and seeing what Belichick can come up with. Their season's literally on the line. They lose this game, I think they're out. They're done for the season. They win. They got Jets next week, which is an automatic win, and they salvage and keep their hopes alive.
Interesting. Again, Joe Wiz joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. He's got a show right here on 98.7 ESPN later on tonight at midnight. And then again, of course, you could tune into him on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Here's another line that's a little perplexing to me. Green Bay Packers -6.5. Now, the Minnesota Vikings, okay? They trade their best defensive rusher. The other one was Daniel Hunter. He was just placed on IR. And also yesterday it was reported 3 of their top DBs more than likely are not going to play tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, when this Minnesota Vikings team was healthy, tossed for 400 passing yards and 4 touchdowns. And he's supposed to get Alan Lazard back. How is this line only 6.5 and Green Bay's at home? Joe?
It's, you know, these two teams met week one, and it was all, you know, Green Bay won the game 43-34 in a shootout. Rodgers had 364 passing yards, four touchdowns, and Cousins, you just don't know what he's going to do. Well, he's been throwing multiple interceptions, and when he throws multiple interceptions, the Vikings are 0-20. The only thing they have going for them is Zimmer has a good pedigree under Zimmer. The Vikings, when they lost, when they lose, coming off of consecutive losses, they're 29-11 against the spread. Anita, again, you know, we talked to Stuart, you're one of your callers called in earlier, and he asked about whether certain people have advantages. You have to pay attention to the lines and see what's going on lines. We saw what happened Thursday night with the Falcon line. It dropped all the way from 3, 2.5, it went to 1. Same thing on Monday night. Everybody was betting the Bears on Monday night, and you saw what happened in that game. Here's a similar scenario. There's only one way for me to go in this game. If I play the game, I'm taking the dog. I'm going to buy the half point. I'm going to take the 7 with Minnesota only because I see what's happening with the smart money. The smart money's coming in on a dog. The house knows that everyone's going to be pounding Green Bay. It seems too easy, just like it does to take the Buffalo Bills. I'm on the Vikings plus the 7 only because of where I see the money moving.
Interesting. One more game I want to tee up for you, and then I've got a special teaser. I'm curious what side you'd be on with this teaser. I'm gonna tee up for you, so stay tuned for that. My favorite dog this week is the Raiders. I think the final result, the score between the Raiders and the Patriots, was not a true indication of how that game played out. The Raiders were still in that game at the end of the third quarter. Unfortunately, they had issues heading into that game with their offensive line and then some injuries that took place on the offensive line, and they weren't able to run the ball in the fourth quarter. I feel this Raiders team is the better team, and a lot of people feel that the Cleveland Browns are better without Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think that's true. They rank 17th in explosive plays this season. I like the Raiders here, and I like the Raiders on the money line at plus 120.
Anita, I agree with you 100%. I feel the wrong team is favored in this game here. Right now, the Browns are laying 2.5. I think by tomorrow, you're going to see this line dropping, and I disagree with people saying that Beckham, even though I'm not a big fan of Odell, he is certainly a great athlete. I think that they're definitely going to miss him because the defenses respect him, and it keeps everybody honest. Now, they won't have to focus in on double-team anybody. Raiders with Carr certainly gets the quarterback edge, and Raiders right now, one of the surprise teams this year. They've already beaten Kansas City. They've already beaten New Orleans. And I think they have the wrong team favored. Moneyline, Anita, smart move. I'm on the bandwagon with you.
All right. This is what we're going to end on, Joe. And I'm calling this my bad team teaser. Okay?
I love teasers.
I do too. Okay, so this is a four team, 10-point tease. You ready?
Yes.
Okay, you could either go with Kansas City minus 9.5 against the Jets, the Bucks minus 2.5 against the Giants, the Eagles minus 1 against Dallas, or the Bills plus 2 against New England, or you can go Jets plus 29.5 against Kansas City, the Giants plus 22.5 against the Bucks, the Dallas Cowboys plus 21 against the Eagles, and the Patriots plus 14 against the Bills. What side? Are you on the dog side? Or are you on the favorite side for the Anita's bad teams teaser?
Well, Anita, both of us love dogs literally in life, in real life, and in sports betting. I'm certainly a dog player. Most of the people that follow me know that 70% of the games that I play in general are underdogs. Regardless of how bad the Jets are, I would take the 30 or 29.5. Same thing with the Giants. Tampa Bay is going to go through the motions there, even getting 10.5. I know everyone thinks that's going to be a blowout. Strange things happen on Monday night with the home dogs. Dallas is a concern. But the only one that is a question mark, regardless of which way you go, whether the Bills are plus 2 or New England plus the 14, that one is there. I like New England plus the points there because I took them plus 4, so I'm getting the 14. I like taking all four dogs. I generally, when I do teasers, I look for taking more points instead of, you know, because if you take Buffalo, if, say, New England pulls off an upset, then all of a sudden you tease a shot.
So you would take all the dogs. You'd take all the horrible teams.
The legit bad teams. They all are right, bad Joe. Teams, too. We got the Jets, the Giants, the Cowboys.
I know. That's why I'm calling it Anita's bad team teaser. Joe, thank you so much. Again, he's Joe Wiz, and his show's here later on tonight at midnight, and then, of course, again on Sunday morning. Any final thoughts, Joe? I'm sorry. I think I cut you off.
No, that's it. I wanted to thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate the ability to talk to people and let your buddy Stewart that calls in all the time. There is certainly opportunities, and the House does have the advantage. When you're never sure what to do, always defer to the dog. That's all I can tell you.
There you go. Joe, have a great show tonight.
Thank you.